This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This is Dolphins Rewind on the home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 WQAM and streaming on the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Lexus, who invite you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing.
Buenos dias, Dolphins fans. What's up, everybody? Good morning. Welcome in to the Miami Dolphins Rewind show. This is AM 560 Sports WQAM. You're listening to Solana. Dolphins going to try to win their fourth straight today. They went up to New York, kicked the Jets' ass in the Meadowlands. That's always nice. Got to feel good right now as you're starting your football Sunday. Always good to start a football Sunday coming off a victory over the New York Jets. 24-17 was the final score in the Meadowlands. Again, Dolphins are going to host the Panthers today. Week 12, Panthers coming off a loss to Washington. Dolphins looking to win their fourth consecutive game. This is the first of three straight at Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins only have two road games left. They'll be in New Orleans 2 days after Christmas. So a long ways away before the Dolphins' next road game. They're going to play the Panthers today, the New York Giants next Sunday. They'll have their bye, and they'll host the New York Jets once again. So three winnable games coming up at Hard Rock Stadium for your Miami Dolphins. They will try to win their fourth consecutive today. Before we preview today's game, and there are some roster updates that I'd like to get everybody caught up on. And the big story today, of course, Cam Newton starting for the Carolina Panthers. I'll have some audio from Cam Newton later on in the show. His thoughts on the Miami Dolphins defense, kind of what he expects from this Dolphins defense in today's game. By the way, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Still the Thanksgiving weekend, technically. And however you spent it, whether it was family, friends, loved ones, whatever it is you did, I hope you enjoyed it. We'll have some funny audio, actually, later on in the show as well, of some Thanksgiving Day-related commentary from Tua Tagovailoa and Dolphins rookie receiver Jalen Waddle. We'll get to that later on in the show. I would like to kind of revisit this Jets victory here in the first segment, though, because there was some really good stuff there that we saw from the Dolphins. First and foremost, Myles Gaskin, that 24-17 final score, by the way. Myles Gaskin, 89 yards on the ground, a season high. He had 23 attempts. Tua, 27 of 33, 273 yards, the two touchdowns. He did have that one interception. But we finally got the big play, the highlight reel play from Tua, the bomb to Mac Collins, 65 yards, longest pass play of Tua Tagovailoa's career. I think the longest reception he's had where the ball traveled in the air farther than he's ever thrown it as a professional in the National Football League. It's what we've wanted, a bomb from Tua Tagovailoa. And we finally got it. And, you know, no surprise that it happened after the Miami Dolphins were able to move the ball on the ground. Eric Stoutsville, Dolphins, one of the Dolphins offensive coordinators, he talked about it in his press conference this week where, yeah, if you're able to get the ball moving on the ground. It'll open up the passing plays. And it worked for the Miami Dolphins when you finally get your season high 89 yards from Myles Gaskin. On Monday, Jordan McPherson of the Miami Herald, he wrote five more thoughts as the Dolphins win their third straight after beating the Jets. And the first thing he points out was that balanced attack that helped Miami on their scoring drives. They run 67 plays on offense, 34 passes, 34 runs. McPherson writes, the running game still not that impressive, averaging just 3.5 yards per carry on Sunday versus the Jets and picking up 115 total yards, but it was productive enough to help open the passing game and look no further, as I just mentioned, to the Dolphins' longest play of the game. After Myles Gaskin had consecutive runs of 20 and 9 yards, the Dolphins had 2nd-and-1 from their 35-yard line. Tua Tagovailoa went with play action pass and noticed as he was going through his progressions that both cornerback Isaiah Dunn and safety Elijah Riley bit and stayed toward the line of scrimmage, leaving Mac Hollins down the left sideline. McPherson also highlights the Myles Gaskin touchdown, which would seal the game for Miami. It was the pass play late in the game. Tua stays in the pocket, is able to hit the checkdown man, who is Gaskin. He gets into the end zone, and that was all she wrote. But what he points out next is, and this is what he wrote, that rhythm was non-existent for most of the first half, and I couldn't agree more with Jordan McPherson. Here's what he writes. The Dolphins put together two solid drives during the first two quarters. They opened the game with an 11-play, 83-yard drive that ended with a 1-yard rushing touchdown by Jalen Waddle on a reverse. Tagovailoa completed all 6 of his passes that drive for 16.1 yards and finding 5 different receivers. They ended the half with a 10-play, 41-yard drive that resulted in a missed field goal. In between, they ran just 14 plays over 4 drives, with one ending in an interception and the other 3 ending in punts. Miami never got out of its own territory on any of those 4 drives. This has been a reoccurring theme for the Miami Dolphins, and it seems to happen almost every game at this point. Jason Taylor on the Miami Dolphins broadcast, you'll hear him today at 1 p.m., he calls this the scripted drive. Basically, the Dolphins all week long throughout practice, they're planning their first drive of the game, and it makes total sense. I'll read you these numbers again. On that first drive, the Dolphins go 11 plays, 83 yards. They get the touchdown. Everything looks like it's a well-oiled machine. Like, the Dolphins know exactly what they're doing. Everybody's in sync. Everybody's on the same page. And then after that first drive, it's a different team. Seems like a different offense. Seems like can't get the first downs, can't convert on third and short. You're often shooting yourself in the foot with 2-yard losses, stupid penalties. The Dolphins just don't look like they do in that first drive. I guess the simple solution here is, we'll script the whole game plan. Script the entire game, but obviously can't do that. So what do the Miami Dolphins do? How can they be more consistent throughout the course of the football game? And that's something Tua Tagovailoa said today, or said earlier this week during one of his media availabilities. Because I think it was Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post, he covers the Miami Dolphins very well, he kind of asked Tua, you know, your first half numbers as a quarterback are not that great, but in the fourth quarter, Tua is one of the best quarterbacks in terms of accuracy, in terms of efficiency in the NFL. And he asked him, you know, are you focused on that? Are you focused on being a better player in the fourth quarter? And Tua, rather than answering that, alludes to the Miami Dolphins' inconsistencies throughout the stretch of a game.
I would say the things that kind of haunt me is just, you know, after our first series is, you know, the second, third, fourth series when, you know, we kind of get stopped and just shooting ourselves in the foot with me, you know, turning the ball over on the second series and, you know, things like that. I kind of think of those things more than, you know, the fourth quarters and how we're trying to finish. Obviously, we like to start fast and finish strong, but it's really the meat of everything, you know, and then also situationally, you know, our 2-minute, you know, just all of those things. I think offensively, I need to help our guys do a better job, you know, this upcoming game with kind of the second quarter, the third quarter, playing at a high level still and, you know, getting us to the fourth quarter to finish strong.
Yeah, so Tua's obviously aware of it, and how could you not be? I mean, it's so blatant that the Dolphins just go through these long stretches. Again, it's been a reoccurring theme, even when Tua's not under center, by the way. Even when it was Jacoby Brissett, when Tua was dealing with some of these injuries, the Dolphins go on these long stretches where they just can't move the football. And look, against the New York Jets, sure, it doesn't matter because the Jets are bad, and your defense was able to hold it down for you. And despite the fact that Joe Flacco, by the way, kind of looked impressive, right? Like, how do the Dolphins do what they did to Lamar Jackson on Thursday Night Football? Confuse the most elusive player that plays that position in the NFL in Lamar Jackson, a potential MVP candidate, and then turn it around a week later, and Joe Flacco, 36 years old, washed up, he actually looked competent against the Dolphins at stretches. Like, okay, you can go throughout the entire second quarter without moving the football. You punt the ball, three and outs, that interception by Tua that was just a very ill-advised throw, and it won't end up costing you the victory because you're playing the New York Jets. I get it. And five turnovers against the Houston Texans, it won't end up costing you because it's the Houston Texans and you're able to get four turnovers and win that game. So, fine, it's okay against the New York Jets, but can the Dolphins go throughout the entire second quarter, parts of the first quarter, without picking up a first down and beat the Carolina Panthers today? I'm not certain. Can they do it against the New York Giants next week? Maybe, because the Giants are so bad, but today, 1 p.m. at Hard Rock Stadium, I don't think so. I don't think the Dolphins can do that and still beat this Carolina Panthers football team, who, I get it, they've lost two of three, and Cam Newton probably doesn't have a full grasp of this offense yet, and it's not the Cam Newton of old. Doesn't matter, though. The Miami Dolphins have to be able to move the ball consistently. Tua Tagovailoa has to be the Tua we saw in the second half against the New York Jets throughout the entire game. And if the Dolphins can run the football like we saw that battle. I just read you the numbers there. 34 pass plays, 33 running plays. Myles Gaskin gets 89 yards on the ground. Looked pretty solid. The Dolphins' offensive line actually played pretty decently at points in that game. I mean, we know the formula now. We know what works. I get it's easy to say, well, it was the New York Jets. And this Panthers defense is certainly a much tougher test for this Miami Dolphins team. And Cam Newton paired with Christian McCaffrey, a much tougher test for this Dolphins defense than Joe Flacco was. But we know the formula. And mix it with an offense that can move the ball consistently, something the Dolphins have struggled with, well then, that's it right there. That's what it's going to take to be in what they call the hunt at the end of the season. Right now, you're at 4-7, you're technically not in the hunt, but man, we've talked about it how many times. This Dolphins schedule, the remaining six games, including today against the Carolina Panthers, it is not difficult. This is probably the toughest team other than the Patriots week 18 that you're going to play. And if you can beat the Panthers today, you improve to your fourth consecutive victory, you're 5-7. Then you've got the Giants who are not good, the Jets at home who are not good. You get your bye week late in the season, which will certainly help. Then you have the Saints. I get it. Monday Night Football, it's a tough place to play, but the Saints do not look good. Look no further than their Thursday Night Football loss on Thanksgiving night versus AFC East rival Buffalo Bills. And following that, you have the Titans without Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill throwing it to everybody else but his receivers. I mean, you're in a position where, at the very least, these next six games, you win today against the Carolina Panthers, at the very least, you're going 4-2. At the very least, you're going 4-2 if you're the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, by the way, my grade for his performance against the New York Jets, probably like a B or a B minus. He was 27 of 33. I told you finally got the bomb against the Jets. You get that Mac Hollins touchdown. It was great to see from Tua, but that interception still a little ill-advised. We're still waiting to see like this breakout game from Tua Tagovailoa. And like, this isn't a criticism of him. He did enough to win. He certainly played well enough in the fourth quarter when it mattered. And listen, against the Baltimore Ravens just about 10 days earlier than that, he definitely did enough to win in the second half against that Baltimore Ravens defense. So again, this isn't necessarily a criticism of Tua Tagovailoa, and I know this is a very divisive topic But we haven't gotten like that breakout performance from him where he comes out, throws 320, 330 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. Just looks like he has total command of this Miami Dolphins offense. And, you know, I would love to see it today against a very worthy opponent in the Carolina Panthers. Panthers need this win, by the way. So you can expect them to come out, send pressure at Tua, certainly try to stop Myles Gaskin on the ground. It's something we're going to talk about more in the next segment, this matchup between the two teams. But all in all, Dolphins went up to the Meadowlands. They took care of business, and that's what mattered most for this team. I'll have your injury report coming up next. It was certainly an extensive one, and there's a couple players questionable that we want to keep our eye on for today. There were some roster moves as well for the Miami Dolphins, and I'm going to have some awesome audio for you. It happened last Sunday on the pregame show between Jason Taylor, Joe Rose, and Channing Crowder, who you're going to hear coming up on the pregame show in a little under an hour. It's something you don't want to miss. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show here on AM 560 Sports WQAM with Solana.
This is Dolphins Rewind on the home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 WQAM and streaming on the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Lexus, who invite you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing.
The Dolphins are looking for their fourth straight today. They're going to host the Panthers at Hard Rock Stadium at 1 p.m. I was reading MiamiDolphins.com. This is actually pretty interesting. Carolina is Miami's least faced opponent in the NFL. It's just the seventh regular season meeting between the two teams. And the Dolphins, they actually lead the all-time series 4-2. But after taking the first four, Carolina has won the past two, including their last meeting in 2017. So a couple streaks on the line. Dolphins looking to end the Panthers' two-game winning streak over the organization. And you're trying to get to four straight wins, which would put you at 5-7, probably not in the mix for the playoff hunt, but at the very least closer than where you were after losing seven straight games. The Miami Dolphins, again, will kick off versus the Carolina Panthers at 1 p.m. today from Hard Rock Stadium. Let me get to the injury report here as we continue on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show here with Solana. This was released Friday, and ton of names on the Miami Dolphins injury report. It's been that way all week long. Trill Williams, Elijah Campbell, and Adam Shaheen, they are all listed as out for today for the Miami Dolphins. And the one that's going to hurt the most, I think, right now is Brandon Jones. He's dealing with some ankle injuries, some elbow injuries. He was limited on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and he is listed officially as questionable for today's game. Brandon Jones had himself a heck of a game versus the New York Jets. He had six tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble. And it would certainly be a big loss for the Miami Dolphins. He and Javon Holland have kind of turned into this blitzing tandem. Javon Holland playing well all across the field, really, for this Dolphins defense. But it's been Brandon Jones who's been able to apply pressure. We saw it against Lamar Jackson. We saw it against the Houston Texans. He's done a very good job all season at being able to blitz. He's been in those packages where the Dolphins are sending a ton of DBs trying to get to the quarterback, and he's had success. And again, today against the Carolina Panthers, you want to see more of that, right? There's certainly this dynamic of Cam Newton being able to run the football as a quarterback. And listen, blitzing the hell out of Lamar Jackson seemed to work. So I have no idea why the Dolphins would not try to use that same approach today against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. It would help if Brandon Jones was in the lineup. In the last segment, I was talking about Tua. I was talking about how we still haven't seen like this breakout performance from Tua Tagovailoa. Not that he's played poorly, but you know, this game where he comes out, he silences all the haters, and he just looks legit. He looks like he can be your franchise quarterback for the next 10 or so seasons. Again, I know this is divisive. I know how many of you are out on Tua already. You don't want to hear any argument for Tua being the franchise quarterback, but I do think it's fair to point out that over his last five games, he's thrown for 1,256 yards, eight touchdowns, five interceptions while completing 70% of his passes. Those are pretty good numbers. They certainly are. So while maybe Tua hasn't looked like one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, I get it. He hasn't looked like Justin Herbert. Okay, I totally understand it. He is still playing some pretty good football for the Miami Dolphins over the past couple of games. And there were some roster moves by the Miami Dolphins as well, some that I think we should get to. On Saturday, yesterday, they placed defensive back Elijah Campbell on the IR, and they elevated cornerback Javaris Davis. And how about Sheldrick Redwine? He's back for the Miami Dolphins. He has been elevated to the 53-man roster for today's game. Dolphins, by the way, I'm just scrolling through their Twitter account. They're going to be rocking the all-white unis at Hard Rock Stadium. And since the Miami Hurricanes season is officially over, no more Canes games at Hard Rock Stadium. Got the painted end zones back, baby. Because, you know, they do the generic Miami end zones because you have the Canes and the Dolphins playing there. It would be a real pain in the ass to have to paint the end zone orange, then back to green, different fonts, different styles that you want to see for the Canes and Dolphins. Well, Canes season's done. So now we've got the Miami Dolphins end zones painted with Dolphins in it, and looks good. You can see it on the Dolphins Twitter account. Got the aqua end zone ready to go for today's 1 p.m. kickoff. Coming up, Kevin Rogers, Channing Crowder, your Miami Dolphins pregame show. They'll take you up until 1 p.m. You got Jimmy Cephalo, Joe Rose, Jason Taylor. They'll have your call for today's game. I mentioned the Miami Hurricanes. They picked up a win yesterday against Duke. 47-10 was the final score there for Miami. They end their season, their regular season anyways, 7-5. Your Florida Panthers, they lost their second straight 4-1 losers to the Seattle Kraken. How about the Miami Heat? Through 20 games, they're now 13-7. A big victory, impressive victory over the Chicago Bulls, 107-104. It was a Gabe Vincent game. I hope you're listening, Channing Crowder, on your way to the station. The Gabe Vincent game, which we will all remember. He had 20 points, a lot of them coming in the fourth quarter. There's your South Florida score update. Hopefully the Dolphins can piggyback off the Canes, and the Miami Heat pick up their fourth consecutive victory. Before we preview today's game, I want to get to this audio because I'm telling you, it is some of the greatest audio you will ever hear, and it will provide some context. So before every Miami Dolphins game, Joe Rose, he'll join the Dolphins pregame show with Channing Crowder and Kevin Rogers. They'll preview that day's game, and it was no different last week as the broadcast team was up at the Meadowlands. Joe Rose joined the broadcast for his routine pregame show appearance, and he's kind of poking fun at Jason Taylor. You're going to hear it at the beginning of the clip where he mentions a police escort going into the Meadowlands. Didn't need to mention that because the broadcast team gets a police escort to pretty much every game. And then you're going to hear about 10 seconds after, Jason Taylor picks up his headset, and I'm here watching it all live, picks up his headset and asks Joe Rose, "Yeah, you got that police escort, right?" And JT, a little upset because missed the bus, had to Uber to the game, and he thinks it was Joe Rose's fault. Listen to how this transpires on the air.
It's still Jets-Dolphins, so the rivalry doesn't go away, but when you got two teams that are really good, it sure makes a difference for the rivalry and adds a lot more to it. I can tell you it was a lot easier to get in today than it's ever been with this crowd. That tells me something when all of a sudden you got an escort and you realize you didn't need one because there was nobody, and it was a little slow in the parking lot today. So, yeah.
They still nasty, so. Joe? Did you get any eggs thrown at the window, any beer cans?
So the best teams for flipping people off, I still give the edge to Buffalo. Buffalo's
New
still
England
the best.
Is there.
Yeah, but the Jets were, there were a few today, but I think Buffalo's still clearly number one. They, you know, and hey, man, they got the team. So when they flip you off, like, hey, we're flipping you off because we don't like it, and we know our team's better. It's a different flipping off.
You lost me, Joe. You had an escort today?
Ooh. Yeah, we had the escort.
There we go.
A police escort into the stadium.
Yeah.
Hey, Channing.
What up, bro?
Guess what? Guess who did not have a police escort into the stadium?
Hey, man.
Joe and Jim. I can't say Jimmy because Jimmy definitely didn't do it, but Joe left me again at the hotel.
He did.
Listen, man.
I'm gonna have your microphone turn off if you don't shut up. He left me at the hotel, so I couldn't get an Uber because they were too backed up. I had to download the Lyft app on my phone, create an account, get a Lyft, And then the drop-off area.
You know Jenny,
Joe, be quiet. I'll punch you. I swear for the Lord.
Hit him.
So Channing, you've been to the crappy Meadowlands, right?
Yes.
So you know where the Giants practice facility is.
Yep.
That's where Lyft drops you off. So I have my suitcase to fly back home tonight and my backpack.
You got some conditioning,
Joe. One more time, I swear I'm gonna slap all. I'm gonna take all your fronts out. So they dropped me off at the Giants facility, and I had to walk through the parking lot to the stadium. It's about a mile and a half with my backpack and my rolling bag. Joe had an escort. I had Lyft.
Joe, I had two buses with me.
Why you
too.
Do that to JT, Joe?
This is the second time it's happened, Channing. It happened in Chicago too.
I'm responsible for Chicago. I did. The bus driver goes, "Do we have everybody?" And I go, "Yes, we do. Let's go." And I forgot Jason was with us, so he called, and we're about 5 miles from the stadium. And I said, "Hey, Jason, we got a little problem here." So he comes in, he goes, "Dude, who left me?" And I go, "I did. That was on me." But this one today, he was late, and I said, "Listen, man, we're part of the escort with the second and third buses with the team, and they're leaving, and that bus driver ain't getting left behind."
Yep. I had to get the lift and walk through the parking lot.
But
it was hell.
But you can add your homeboys back, today. Joe. You can say 2 minutes. Let me run to the bathroom. You got to, what's it called? You got to hold them back for a little bit.
Channing, you're really helping this damn situation right now. I got to tell you.
Joe, you
that's real
him.
Nice of you. So all I could hear in the back, he goes, "Tell me you guys aren't leaving." I hear kids going, Jason, will you sign this? Will you sign? He goes, "Hold on a second, kid. This is important."
That's true. I got killed. Oh, my God, I got killed. But I learned my lesson. I will not be 30 seconds late for the bus again because will leave y'all, you know what.
I got him in about 4 to 5 minutes, and I couldn't hold the bus driver. Channing, no matter what you hear coming out of this, I understand there's a little friction in the booth today, but I'm telling you right now, there's nothing I could do to save him today.
And Channing, I'm right in the middle of this day.
Don't just let them deal with it themselves, bro. Don't fight this.
Joe, let you be 30 seconds late for that plane tonight. I swear to God, I'm telling that pilot to leave. We're gonna leave your hand parts right in Newark.
By the way, Jason's trying to do one of those last second flights. That's going to be a tight one coming from this stadium. I went with a backup plan, but if that thing does work, I'm making sure my ass got a chance to get on that earlier flight.
If there is a standby seat available on the plane, I promise I will pay for it with my own credit card to make sure you're not on it.
Keep them back, man.
Can't wait to watch this football game.
Channing, boy, you turned on me too, Channing, all those years, man. I know you guys played together. I know it's a little special bond, but listen, man.
JT took it easy on me at rookie hazing night, so I think he might be hazing you a little bit now, JT. With the media hazing, because JT just ordered one bottle of Opus One and some other things, but he didn't order the Junior Seau Louis the 13th and all. So that's my man, JT, my man.
Did Junior really do that to you?
Of course he did.
Junior ordered a bottle of Louis the 13th. It was like $5,000, and then he got one to go on the way out of the door at Prime 112. I was like, Junebug, I thought we were tight, bro. He got one to go. I was like, man, come on. But JT watched out,
Channing.
Buddy. Yep.
Channing, man, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it was $17,000, something like that. I had to pay my rookie hazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Look at JT talking about
back
who.
Back in the day, we wouldn't be able to get a snifter of one.
$17,000. That was net pay for a season, damn near right there. Yeah, that was. Hey, guys, we got two left, so we're gonna see how Jason does on these last two road trips coming up. Can be interesting. Hey. Tennessee and New Orleans.
Don't hit
New Orleans. We stay right next door to the stadium, so that won't be too bad.
Stop. Don't hit the snooze button, bro. Joe done showed you his hand. Don't hit the snooze button.
That wasn't even. I didn't even sleep in. For crying out loud. It's 9:45. I mean, I got a baby at home, so I slept a little bit later up here in New York, but had to get my credential when this. I forgot we're on radio. This guy left me.
loving individual.
Now I'm the guy.
JT.
Now I'm the guy.
If you leave Joe Rose, you're hosting the morning show tomorrow. That's the one thing you got to think about.
Well, I promise you two things. I'm not waiting for Joe anywhere, and I damn sure ain't hosting his radio show. So Zach Kranz is on his own.
By the way, Jason Taylor will be joining me in the morning on 560 WQM. Thank you. We'll be discussing this game.
Boy.
All right, fellas.
Y'all have a good one.
Again, that was last week, the Miami Dolphins pregame show. So Jason Taylor never joined Joe Rose on the air that Monday. I can assure you of that. And again, that I love that. I wanted to play it for everybody because it was so organic. JT genuinely upset at Joe Rose, even though I was in that bus. Joe Rose had nothing to do with the police escort and the bus taking off on him. But it was just funny because you hear Joe at the very beginning, he brings up that police escort for absolutely no reason other than to poke fun at Jason Taylor. And I see JT reach for his headphones. He has no appearance yet. He has about 30 minutes until he's required to be on the air. He reaches for his headphones. He puts them on and it was go time. And you heard Jimmy Cephalo there. I've been working on the Miami Dolphins broadcast now for many years. I was I used to run the board for the broadcast when I started at QAM back in 2016. And then I was working the post-game show with Big O when he used to be a part of the broadcast. And now I get the extreme pleasure. I'm very fortunate to be traveling and going to these games and working with these three incredible broadcasters. I have never once seen or heard Jimmy Cephalo on the pregame show. And, you know, Cephalo's preparing for the game. He has a ton going on before the game. And this time, it was such a good conversation, such a good exchange, along with Channing Crowder, that Cephalo put his headset on and got involved in the action. That's how you know that exchange was legendary, because you had Cephalo a part of it. And then Channing Crowder with the icing on the cake at the very end with his Junior Seau rookie dinner story, which I've heard of several times working with Crowder on a daily basis. Still incredible to hear that. Junior Seau running up the tab on Channing Crowder at his rookie dinner. Just an all-time great exchange, and I hope all of you enjoyed it as much as I did. Coming up next, we will preview this game, I promise. Preview the Miami Dolphins versus the Carolina Panthers. That's next on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show.
This is Dolphins Rewind on the home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 WQAM and streaming on the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Lexus, who invite you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing.
Final segment here on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. I'm expecting a Dolphins win today, everybody. I'm feeling good about this one. Got the Panthers coming in. We're going to preview today's game. And then coming up in just a couple of minutes, you're going to get the Miami Dolphins pregame show here on AM 560 Sports WQAM. Don't want to waste any time here because I have a ton of audio that I want to play for all of you. And hopefully I get to this audio from Jalen Waddle and Tua Tagovailoa, their Thanksgiving plans. I really want to get to it because it was some of the best audio we heard throughout the week from the Miami Dolphins practice facility and their media availabilities. But first, here's Brian Flores, his expectations going into today's game versus this Carolina Panthers team.
When you watch Cam Newton, do you feel like there's any rust or anything from his time off, or is he kind of just picked up where?
I think he's picked up where, you know, the same player he's been, dynamic. Obviously, as a runner, but also as a thrower, I think that kind of gets pushed to the side. I mean, he can throw the football. He's had a lot of production throwing the football in this league. They've got good receivers. They've got good O-line. They got good scheme, good backs, obviously. He's a very good player in this league. Can still make a lot of plays. This will definitely be a big challenge for us.
Probably helps that you faced him just last year, also came into this season probably with some idea that you would face him in different circumstances.
We've got history with him. We have history with a number of players that we play against. But the same problems are there. As a runner, as a throwing the football, this is definitely going to be a game about communication and, playing disciplined football. But it's not just Cam. I mean, McCaffrey's a great player. Moore, Robbie Anderson takes the top off the field. Ian Thomas is a very good blocking tight end. Trimble, good young tight end as well. I mean, he got a good old line. So it's not just one player. It's their offense and their offense, their defense, their special teams, and we have to play a good complementary game in all phases, which starts in practice.
What have you noticed about the Panthers' pass rush?
It's very good. I think defensively they're fast. Burns, Reddick, Shaq Thompson, Derek Brown. I mean, they got players everywhere. So it's a very good defense. They're well coached. They're well coached. Rule, Snow, Joe Brady. I mean, they got a good coaching staff. Chase. So I mean, it's a good group. Good staff. They're well coached. And they got good players. A lot of good players.
That was Brian Flores there on Cam Newton and this Carolina Panthers team. Here's Tua Tagovailoa asked what he thinks about this Carolina Panthers defense that he'll be facing today.
Fast, athletic. You know, they're very good as far as their communication up front and then back end. I do understand that they're number one pass defense, which, you know, forces us, you know, it gives us a challenge, I would say. You know, I would say philosophy-wise, you know, with this defense, I mean, they don't give up big plays much. You know, it's more of a 8-play, 12-play drive. You know, they really make you work for points. You don't ever see them blow coverages. You rarely ever see 3-play, 4-play drives and a team scores on this team. So they do present a big challenge for us.
That's Tua there, and he's right. This is going to be a tough challenge for the Miami Dolphins. I was reading on ESPN.com from Marcel Louis Jacques, who actually covers the Miami Dolphins for ESPN. He writes, over the past 4 weeks, the Panthers defense owns the highest sack percentage, 10.8% of dropbacks, in the NFL, while Miami has given up the sixth most sacks in that same time. And then he writes, the Dolphins didn't allow a sack last week, but this will be their toughest test to date as they try to protect both quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and their three-game winning streak. And it's a good point there. The Dolphins didn't give up a sack against the New York Jets, but at the end of the day, it is the New York Jets. The Dolphins will need to protect Tua. They'll need to really piggyback off of their performance last season. I'm speaking about the offensive line and protect Tua. And let's give Tua credit, even on that play against Mac Collins that I've referenced a couple times today, the 65-yard touchdown, Tua was able to step up into the pocket, evade pressure, and find Mac and go through his progressions and find the open receiver, leading to the longest touchdown pass of his career. And you're going to need to see more of that. Tua really spreading the field, extending plays, and avoiding pressure. If the Dolphins can give him time, we know he can be accurate. We know he can make the plays necessary to get first downs. They just need to be able to protect him and give him the time to do so. It'll be interesting today if they can do it against one of the better defenses at getting to the quarterback in the NFL. Another dynamic at play here will be the balance of the Dolphins' offense. I talked about it a ton in the first, the first segment, where the Dolphins, those 67 plays against the New York Jets, they threw it 34 times, they ran it 33 times. It was Miles Gaskin's season high. And I was reading up here on the Carolina Panthers, one of the biggest reasons why they lost to Washington last week was because Washington was able to move the ball and the Panthers just had zero answer for it. And when the Panthers allow over 100 yards on the ground, they're 0-6 this season. But when they limit opponents to under the century mark, they're 5-0. The Dolphins are going to have to figure out a way to move the ball on the ground. I'm not saying they have to run the ball for 100 yards. But again, when teams haven't been able to eclipse the 100 yards on the ground against the Panthers, they are winless. So clearly a tough matchup. Your hopes have to be that the Dolphins will figure out what worked for them against the New York Jets and hope that they can translate it to another successful outing running the football versus this Carolina Panthers defense. Speaking of the Panthers defense, their defensive coordinator, Phil Snow, answered a couple questions about Tua Tagovailoa earlier this week.
When you look at Tua with the Dolphins, his career so far has sort of been, I guess, up and down. And how do you evaluate what you see from him at this stage of his career and this point in the season?
You know, I really believe that every week we're going to get everybody's best. So there's a reason why he was taken high in the draft. There's a reason why he's starting at Miami. So, you know, I'm expecting him to give us his best, which is pretty good. So, you know, what he's done in the past doesn't really affect what we do. We know their offense and what they want to do, and I'm anticipating him play at a high level. So that's how I see him.
And then just real quick, then when he's at his best, What makes him dangerous?
Well, he's got good mobility in the pocket. He can sidestep the rush and make people miss and keep himself alive. He really scrambles to throw. You know, he doesn't really want to run the football, and it's probably because of some of his injuries. But, you know, I always anticipate, and we do as a staff, quarterbacks running with the football off the belly read action, which they have. And, Heinicke last week ran, and I knew he was going to run. And I'm anticipating the same thing from him. So even though he's been nicked up a little bit, I do believe on critical down and distances that he will carry the football. And so he presents a lot of problems that way. He's got good mobility and he's got a good arm. And there's a reason why he was a first-round draft pick and drafted as high as he was.
That was Panthers defensive coordinator Phil Snow on Tua Tagovailoa. Clearly holds them in high regards. I want to get to some of this audio that I've been teasing all show long. Look, you're leading up to Thanksgiving Day earlier this week at Dolphins media availabilities. Naturally, the Thanksgiving food-related questions will be coming from the local reporters and journalists that are out at Dolphins practice every day. And Mike Cugno, who you hear often on AM 560 Sports WQAM, CBS4 anchor and reporter. Kudos to him. Kudos to Mike Cugno, who was asking Brian Flores the tough-hitting questions. He wanted to know if he had any hot food takes relating to Thanksgiving Day.
Did you have a controversial food take? You could make some news.
Controversial food?
Food take, yeah.
For Thanksgiving or just in general?
Let's go Thanksgiving.
No, I mean, I think it's all good.
Let's go in general.
Brian, I think you got one. Just to get back on track.
Yeah.
I think you have one.
The man was about to tell us he puts ketchup on hot dogs or something.
Come on. I think you have one open spot.
You're there. Even the media, some of the other reporters getting upset. I mean, Barry Jackson, let us have some fun. Barry, come on, Barry. Let us have a little bit of fun. I wanted to hear a controversial food take. I think Cugno was going to press Brian Flores on it too, which would have been really funny. Barry Jackson ruining the fun. But he's got a column to write, and he's the best in the biz, so no hard feelings there with Barry Jackson. But kudos to Mike Cugno, man. Trying to get the questions at least I want answered during Thanksgiving week. How about this? Jaylen Waddle, his press conference earlier in the week as well, he was asked what his favorite Thanksgiving Day food was.
Favorite Thanksgiving food? Turkey. It's like some good homemade mac and cheese, too. That sounds kind of good.
Going over to Tua's?
Tua did tell me to come over there. I might come over there. I plan on going all around, like, just picking up plates, really.
So all different teammates?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. I got to get around the bigger guys. They eat good. So definitely got to stop over there.
How many plates do you plan on having?
I'm going to stack up for like a good like 4 days. So I say about like 4 or 5 plates. Okay, give me do it. Definitely, definitely.
Do you bring a dish? Is there a dish you cook?
No, I'm not bringing nothing. I'm just bringing myself. I'm not bringing nothing.
I love Jaylen Waddle. So many nuggets there. So many great nuggets there. So first, yeah, he's invited by Tua Tagovailoa, but he's just going for a to-go plate. He intended to do that with a bunch of other Dolphins players who invited him, and he's not taking anything. And by the way, good move there by Waddle to try to hang out with some of the bigger guys. You know they'll throw it down on Thanksgiving. You know they're all going to have the best sides, the fried turkey. The big guys know how to throw it down on Thanksgiving. But what's amazing about this is after Jaylen Waddle kind of pokes fun, says he's just going over to Tua's and some of the other players for a to-go plate, trying to set himself up for some good leftovers for the next couple of days. Listen to how Tua Tagovailoa responded to Jaylen Waddle's comments.
Jaylen Waddle told us that he has an invite to a to-go plate for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but I did hear that he is going to everyone else's houses after. Yeah, so I'm pulling the invite.
So Tua's like, no, you're not coming to my house. Here's why we need a Dolphins win, everybody. Because if the Dolphins lose today, we're never going to find out what happened. Because the media is not going to want to ask the questions. Everything's going to be super serious in the locker room and at the media availabilities the rest of the week. We're not really going to find out what happened on Thanksgiving. We need a Dolphins win today for no other reason. Because 4 in a row would be nice. 5-7 on the season would be nice. ending the Panthers' two-game win streak over the Dolphins would be nice. Yeah, all that, whatever. But more importantly, the locker room, the questions after, it'll all be a lot more fun if the Dolphins win. And we're going to find out what took place, what happened on Thanksgiving with all these players. This has been the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. 1 p.m. kickoff from Hard Rock Stadium. I will be there. Jimmy Cephalo, Joe Rose, Jason Taylor, they have your call coming up next. Dolphins game day with Channing Crowder, Kevin Rogers. They take you up to countdown to kickoff, 1 p.m. from Hard Rock Stadium.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.